from Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. It's the Beer of the Day Podcast. Today is our Oktoberfest beer, and we try three different classic Oktoberfest beers from Germany and three American versions of the style, and then we compare, we see how they stack up versus the original. In our Strange Brew segment, we also have from the brewery, the Autumn Maple beer. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining us tonight, Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, and Brandon Hofer. Hey, everybody.
Welcome.
How's it going?
It's going well. So let's get us in the Oktoberfest mood. Andy has some Oktoberfest fun facts.
So these are based on last year's Oktoberfest, as this year's hasn't happened yet. guess what year Oktoberfest first occurred?
1520.
I'll go earlier. I'll go 1492.
Jeff?
1450.
You guys are way off. 1810.
Wow.
All right. Yeah. So it looks like last year there were 6 million people that went to Oktoberfest. They consumed a combined 1.8 million gallons of beer. I thought that was kind of low because I think in any given day I'd be drinking a gallon of beer, but I'm not the right normal person, I guess.
Does that include all the kids that get to go?
I don't. It must. They only drink half a gallon. I guess last year they had 48,000 bakers that had a strike before the festival. But it sounds like they got it all worked out and started making the pretzels. There's 15 beds for the hungover festival goers. Seems like for 6 million people, there's going to need to be more than 15 beds. 4,000 lost and found items. How much do you think it costs for a beer?
1 euro.
1 euro.
I'll say three.
I was going to go with three.
$13 per brew.
For what?
Slightly less than 34 ounces, normal beer stein size. There's 10,000 people in each tent.
So that's like three beers, roughly, 34 ounces.
Yes.
And it costs $13,
yes.
Which is about 13 euros.
And it's warm.
Pretty pricey.
Yeah, compared to...
Not as much as it is here, I guess.
It's about $4 a beer. Guess that's normal.
Yeah, that's pretty normal. All right, well, let's get into the first beer of the day. We have Spaten Oktoberfest. 5.9% is the alcohol in this one. Spaten, how long have they been brewing beer, you think?
600 years.
More than a decade.
1397.
1397, which is more than 600 years. So you guys are both right.
And more than a decade.
And Jeff has proved that he can read. All right, what do we got here?
I tend to like the Oktoberfest beers, especially from Germany, because they're not that plain lager. You know, they've got a little bit more depth to them. So
I'm looking, as opposed to a traditional German.
The German Hefeweizen or lager, it's, yeah. You know, they're pretty bland.
Yeah, yes, they tend to have a little more of that caramel malt.
Yep.
And a little bit more going on for sure.
Yeah, this is almost like an amber color.
Maybe a little more on the yellowish side than an amber, but it could just be the glass.
Light amber. But. No, I think it's lighter than amber, but it's there. Very clear. I don't think we've seen a beer this clear in a while.
Just a little bit of a kind of ivory color head on it. Not a lot, but at least on mine.
It's pretty white. This is one of the whitest heads. I mean, we have a lot of beer where it's a little more tan, a little darker. This is a very white head. So are all of these going to be Marzens, or is that, this one's a Marzen. Is our most festival beers Marzens?
Yeah, I think that's the style. That's the Oktoberfest style. So you'll probably have some varying degrees of lighter or darker, but I think that's going to be the baseline for sure.
So on the aroma, you get a little hop, not a lot. I mean, there's you can definitely smell the malt backbone, like most Oktoberfest. You know, that's what it's going to kind of lean towards. I haven't tried it yet. Anybody have an opinion?
Yeah, I had a taste already. It's got some nice little caramel notes in it.
It does. That's the thing that's immediately noticeable to me.
No hop, really. I mean, on the taste, it's not bitter for sure.
A little sweetness and a little caramely.
A little sweetness. This is a pretty subtle beer. It's not, it's that type of beer where you could drink a lot of this.
Yeah.
Because it's not overwhelming on the taste or on the alcohol or anything like that. 5.9% is, you know, for a lager, it's solid.
Yeah. I've actually had this one before. We went to a hockey game in San Jose, and we went to a German restaurant, and they had this on tap, and we had it there, and they were served in half liters at the bar. So I've had it there, and I remember thinking at the time it was one of the best Oktoberfests that I'd had. Granted, I was comparing it to one of the other ones we're gonna have a little bit later, but so
this is way better than I thought. It's a little bready, kind of wheaty, and I've had the regular Spaten many years ago, and I don't think I really liked it. But this has a lot more flavor. It's got the caramel, kind of light molasses, and this is very drinkable. I could drink this all day long.
It's, you know, for the amount of flavor that's in it, it's really crisp. You know, it kind of meets the definition of a German lager, but it's got those darker flavors.
I was gonna say it's kind of on the light to medium body. You know, it's got a real crisp finish, like Andy said, but it. You know, it's got a real good flavor profile, and, you know, I really enjoy this one.
I do, too. All right, well, let's compare it to one of the classic American versions of this style. This is Sam Adams Oktoberfest. Sam Adams is the one that spells it October, like O-C-T.
I'm guessing this is one of the first American breweries to make an Oktoberfest beer.
It was the first one I had had, for sure.
So this color-wise, it's a little more orange-colored to me. It's very light. It has about that same level of carbonation. The head is a little more tan than the previous one.
It's about the same color. It might be a little bit more reddish, but they're pretty similar in color.
Yeah, I think this one's not as dark. The other one seemed like it was darker.
This is kind of like a brighter red color.
Well, I mean, in any case, they're still very similar, which we would expect. So we're all similar style beers tonight. I have a feeling they're all going to be very similar in color and, you know, not necessarily taste, but the look and feel of it.
This one is sweeter to me. It's like... It might be a little bit more bready as far as the malt characteristic, and then it has quite a bit more sweetness on top of it.
Yeah, but it's not like the caramel sweetness of the last one.
No,
I think it's a little...
Go ahead.
A little flatter. I don't think I like it as much. It's not bad by any means, but it tastes a little flat. It doesn't have the same complex flavors like the previous one.
It has like some type of candy sweetness, which... it doesn't appeal to me as much as that more subtle amber sweetness of the last one.
I will say on the aroma, the first thing I thought of it was very bready, which you'd expect. It's a malt beer. It's not, you know, it's focusing on malt, not any hops in it really, but that really stood out. It was just kind of the bready smell.
Do you guys get any spiciness in this at all?
I wouldn't call it spicy necessarily, like, peppery, maybe.
Yes. Yeah, a little peppery,
which is
like a Syrah. It kind of tastes like a Sam Adams with a little bit darker malts
and not as much hops. I mean, yeah. this is the first Oktoberfest beer that I had, and I remember when I first had it, I thought it was the greatest thing that I'd ever had. Not quite as much as Matt, but yeah, it was just a really good beer. And as I've drink more in different styles, this one just tends to be a little too sweet for me. It's I mean, it's a good beer. It if you're trying to get into the style, I think it would be one that a new drinker would like. But for me, it's just a little too sweet.
I think the Spaten had more of a natural flavor to me. This seems to have, you know, not that there's weird ingredients in here, but it's not as natural tasting.
Yeah. It's like maybe you don't want to say artificially sweet, but it's the sweetness tastes a little more manufactured. Like it tastes more like candy to me than it does the more malty sweetness of the previous one that tastes like maybe it came from some type of grain component.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, then the next one, rolling right through, we're going to switch back to a German one from Munich. And this is Pollener, Oktoberfest, Mürzen. So 5.9 down to 5.3 for Sam Adams, up to 5.9 for Pollener.
5.8. So I think this is closer to Spaten. I mean, if you put them side by side, I would say it's the same beer. Like,
yeah, it maybe slightly lighter colored.
Yeah, maybe slightly, but it's pretty close.
But the same clarity, the same exact bubbles. I'm holding them side by side, and they look so similar.
Same white head.
Well, yep. I'd say Pollener, I think, is kind of known for their quality. Like they have four ingredients in every beer. You know, you have the water, malt, yeast. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what you get, and just in slightly different, you know, roasts or whatever you got. But
I don't get as much of the sweet smell from this one. I think the Spaten was a little more aromatic.
It's kind of I don't want to call it rubbery, but that's what it reminds me of, a rubbery smell. Like you're smelling a tire, not so pungent, but...
I could see that.
As long as it's not a fat tire.
No, it doesn't.
I was going to say it kind of has the fat tire smell.
It doesn't smell like dirt. Good year.
All right, so obviously this one backs off the sweetness. It's more mm-hmm. back into the Spaten range as on the sweetness scale.
I think it might be even a little bit less than that.
Yeah, I think it might be a little less sweet than that. To the point where I don't think it's as drinkable as the first one, as Spaten.
I think they're just maybe it's either a little less malt, a little more hop. I won't classify it as a bitter beer in any sort of way, but I think it's got a little bit more on that side of it as opposed to being a little more well balanced.
It's not I don't get those caramel notes I got off this button.
Right. It's less of the caramel notes.
It's more bready tasting, and I think on the mouthfeel it's a little creamier, and I don't know, it's smooth, but it's got this kind of creamy mouthfeel that I didn't really pick up in the previous two.
And it's still got that crisp finish, but I agree with you too, Jeff. It's definitely got a little more creamy texture, mouthfeel than the other two.
Yeah, on all of these, we're dealing with pretty small subtleties.
Yeah, we really are.
Right.
You know, they're all very similar, and you know, I think it there's qualities that people might like from many different ones. So I think probably it's a good idea this time of year to go and buy three different kinds, like we did, or six different kinds. If your budget allows for it.
And overdo it.
And then, you know, see which one fits the mold for you.
Or just wait till the end of the show and buy the ones that we pick as the beer of the day.
Yeah, if you can trust our opinion.
We're usually pretty good.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, cleanse our palates just a little bit, and come back with our Strange Brew segment. We have the Autumn Maple from The Brewery in Orange County. And then we have a few more Oktoberfest beers to try. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if this is your first time hearing this podcast, then you probably found us on iTunes or Stitcher, or you just stumbled upon it randomly. But either way, you should know that we have a website, beeroftheday.com, and that's where you'll find this podcast, and you can download all the past episodes. Also, we take these beers that we're trying today, and we put them up and feature them as the beer of the day each day, and we write descriptions of the beer, take pictures, and if you sign up on the website, then we will email you the beer of the day each day or send it to straight to your phone by text message. Or if you like us on Facebook, then we post it to Facebook on a daily basis. And we currently have over 900 Facebook followers. So if you sign up and like us on Facebook, then you can get the Beer of the Day sent to you. We're also on Twitter, Instagram. If you go to beeroftheday.com, in the upper right-hand corner, there is all the social media links. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. If you go to YouTube, you can watch these podcasts, the video versions of the podcast. So check it out, beeroftheday.com. Welcome back. It is our Strange Brew segment. So in this case, we found the strangest, beer that it doesn't really fit the theme. It's not an Oktoberfest beer, but it is a autumn beer. So autumn maple from the brewery in Placentia, California.
What a name.
So I'm drinking out of a wine glass because I looked at the bottle and it says to drink either out of a tulip glass or a wine glass.
Well, we didn't read that. Why don't you tell us?
It's too late to change now. Surprise. We're going to have to just imagine that it's in a wine glass.
Maybe they haven't tried it out of the IPA glass.
I think this is the strange brew because it's brewed with yams, molasses, maple syrup, and spices.
Those are normal things.
Yams?
I eat them all the time. Yeah.
Not in your beer.
Not in my beer. This looks like the...
That is strange. You've sold me on it now. This might be the strangest beer we've had in a while.
It looks like they mashed all that stuff up and...
Into a pumpkin.
Yeah.
It looks pumpkin colored.
It's very... And very...
I haven't tried it, but I liked it better opaque. Before I knew it had yams in it.
I like the color of it. It's like a beautiful ruby red, brownish color. I really like the color of this beer.
Very cloudy. I mean,
yeah.
Compared to all those Oktoberfests we had in the first segment, it's quite the change.
Like mashed potatoes.
It smells like yams.
But I think this is their take on a fall, autumn ale. They don't want to have, I don't know if they make a pumpkin beer. I don't think they do. But it's kind of a nice change because our last show we had all these pumpkin beers. This is a nice autumn ale that isn't made with pumpkins.
It tastes like autumn. It tastes like fall. I do get a little pumpkin flavor in it.
On the nose, I get like nutmeg or some sort of, fall spice that you'd expect like in pumpkin pie or something. Just on the nose, I haven't tasted it yet, but...
This has a lot of the same qualities of... the pumpkin beers we had last week.
It does.
The spices are very similar, and I think the yam is kind of a good substitute for the pumpkin. It's instead of having those pumpkin pie qualities we tasted last week, yams are a little sweeter than pumpkin is naturally, so I think it kind of fits the same bill.
If you had told me this was a pumpkin beer, I would have believed.
Yeah.
But I think this one has a definite Belgian style that was missing from the pumpkin beers. And there was one pumpkin beer last week that you guys had that I did not have. And I think that was the sour from Almanac. And that might have been the closest one to this. But for me, this is more of a Belgian ale, not so much a pumpkin beer by any means.
Now, I just took a pretty big sip and it's 10%. And when I did that, I could taste the alcohol. There's not many 10% beers where I do that, where I can taste the alcohol, and I don't really like that feeling.
It's pretty strong, definitely. But I do agree with Jeff that I do get a lot of Belgian qualities from this.
So for me, nothing against the beer. It's the way it's brewed, everything, it's really good. But it checks every box that I don't like. I'm not a pumpkin fan. Don't really care for Belgians. And it's got a certain taste that it's just not doing it for me.
I'm not a big fan of beers with the spices in them. That's not my thing. Occasionally around Christmas time, sure. On the bottle here it says, we don't need pumpkins in our beer. Maybe you do.
But I don't think this is spicy. I think the spice is pretty subtle. And
it's that holiday spice, that the nutmeg and those qualities that we had in those in the beer yesterday, 2 days ago. I say 2 days ago. That gives it away. So we're recording this on Labor Day. On Friday, which was 3 days ago, we recorded the pumpkin beer that you're going to hear tomorrow as we're recording this. So using the three-day weekend to get two episodes in. So that's why I say yesterday or 2 days ago.
I really like this beer. I think it's unique. I think it's well done. I don't really pick up on the yams. I know there's yams in here, but I get more of like a banana and like a brown sugar and molasses taste.
Yeah, but it's sweet though. You know, we always use the word molasses and brown sugar on those like barrel-aged ones that are darker. This is a lot on the lighter side.
I guess
it's festive too.
I guess you can get a little hint of that sweetness to try. Well, I mean, at 10%, you're always going to have a little bit generally, but I don't know. It's, again, I think the brewery did a good job with it. It's just not my style of beer. And
The brewery.
I think, but if I'm going to sit down for a Thanksgiving dinner, this is a beer that I would like to have at the table.
This reminds me a lot of Thanksgiving, like just the flavors. And, you know, they have like the Anchor Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. You have that on Christmas. And then this is like Thanksgiving equivalent of that to me.
Not a fan.
I like it a lot.
I know we've had some pretty good strange brews lately, but this one doesn't do it for me.
Well, it works out great because we only have three people to this one bottle, and Jeff, who likes it, has the whole bottle to himself. Okay, so Jeff, you went on a little road trip yesterday to try some beer, and you went to Torrance, right?
I did. So Torrance is a suburb of Los Angeles. It's kind of south of LAX along the beach.
Is that anywhere near Redondo Beach?
It is. There's Manhattan Beach, Redondo Beach, Hermosa Beach,
and Torrance. The beach cities.
The beach cities. And Torrance is just inland, like a couple miles. So I was in Torrance. There's a lot of breweries down there. There's many, actually. We have to go back. But I went to three breweries. I'll give you a little rundown of each one. So first we went to Absolution, which, you know, has the religious theme. This tiny place. It was interesting. I mean, it was one of those places that has too many beers, where they need to, if they're a new up and coming brewery, they need to focus on a few. I mean, they probably had 20 beers on tap. But I will say that they had the single best beer of the weekend for me. They have this, it's called Revelation. It's a rye IPA. It tastes very much like the Jacaranda IPA that we had on a previous show.
Jacaranda.
Really delicious. I mean, that was hands down the best beer of the weekend. I bought one of those cans, you know, those growler cans like we got from Mike Hess.
Yep.
That was delicious.
You get two of them?
Just one. Mm. I didn't know how long it would last, but it was really good. Second, I went to Monkish, which is a place that specializes in Belgian style beers. Everything there was good. There wasn't anything that stood out, but everything was really good. If you like Belgian beers, I thought that had a really good crowd. Just for Andy's sake, I will say it had really nice ambiance.
How'd that taste?
It tasted great. But it was packed. You know, part of it was Labor Day weekend, but it was crowded, like very much a good local following for that brewery. So I would highly recommend Monkish. I mean, after this trip, it became one of my favorite LA breweries for sure.
They just had a tap takeover of Monkish at OTP here.
Oddly enough, they were here last week.
So we drank a bunch of those the other night.
What'd you guys think?
I liked them for the most part. There's one that I wasn't a fan of, but I can't remember the name of it. So,
all right. Well, I took a nice picture and put one on the website. It's called Feminist.
Yeah.
One of their more popular beers.
That was the first one I had.
Yeah.
And
it was good.
I liked that a lot.
So I just put that on the website today. If you want to read my review, it's on there. Third brewery was Smog City. I think you guys have heard of Smog City. It's one of the bigger LA places. And it was, you know, one of those places that's probably a little too crowded, a little too popular. It was good. There was nothing wrong with it, but you wait in line for a little while. They had one really solid beer, an IPA called Hop Tonic. I think it's a single IPA, but it was something like 7 or 8%. But that was really good. They're famous for their coffee porter, which I had. Their coffee porter is good. But overall, all three breweries were fun. We had a good time. A good way to spend Labor Day weekend. So I'd recommend all three.
How was the air quality?
You know, it was not bad. Surprisingly, Smog City Brewery is pretty close to the beach where air quality is always pretty good.
Hmm. Well, not aptly named, but we'll go with it. It's memorable anyway. Okay, so we're going to change gears here and move back into some more American versions of the Oktoberfest style. We have two different ones here from the same brewery. This is Sudwerk in Davis, California. They do only lagers. So it kind of works for them to have these Oktoberfest style beers. Unfortunately, the Harvest Lager, the Fest beer that they have, Jeff was able to get that down there, and they don't have that anywhere up here out of the four places I went to. So we have up here in Northern California, we have their Marzen Amber Lager. And this is a 5.7%, which to me is a more Oktoberfest style beer than this Sudwerk Harvest Lager, which is 7.5%, which is just a little too high for an Oktoberfest beer, in my opinion.
Yeah, ours is more in line, it sounds like, with the ones we've had already. On color alone, it's right in line with what we've had. The head, you know, we talked about earlier how, like, the Spaten had a really white head. This is more of a tan or cream head.
Yeah, it's kind of yellow colored, kind of cream colored.
It's still pretty white, though, like, compared to some of the other ones. I mean, it's definitely more on the white side, but it is
It has color.
It has color,
color
too.
Color-wise, it's pretty orange. It looks a lot like the Samuel Adams we had earlier.
Yeah.
In the color.
How's yours look, Jeff?
Pretty similar in color. I'm comparing it to Spaten. I finished the Sam Adams. But, yeah, I think it's very similar in color. I didn't try it yet. But it has mine has a very yeasty, like fresh bread smell to it.
Well, I think that transfers over to the Amber Lager too, because that was the first thing I thought of on the smell for this one was a yeasty bread smell.
I smell lager yeast.
Like kind of like wort. It almost smells like wort.
I mean, there's lager yeast in all these beers, but, you know, Sudwerk, God love them, but... I smell this in every one of their beers, and I just can't stand it.
I like the flavor. I love the smell of wort in the brewing process, and this kind of has the taste of wort.
On ours, I know we have a little bit of a lighter version, but
it tastes like a wort of a much more substantial beer. Like, wort tastes like, you know, it's a bland version of what you're going to end up with.
So to compare this to the other three Oktoberfests we've had, this is by far my least favorite of the four. It's just, for me, I don't know, there's just not a lot to it. Just kind of falls flat. And I don't know if it's just more on the lager side. I know they're all technically, lager yeast, but this one just tastes not a lot of depth of flavor compared to the other ones.
It's very Sudwerk-y.
I like the fact that it's not as sweet as the Sam Adams. Like, that sweetness just overpowers me in the Sam. And this here is quite a bit more reserved when it comes to the sweetness.
Tough to keep that
down. Although there's it's a very light beer, you know.
It is a very light beer.
There's not it's to distinguish, like, it doesn't even have that as much of that amber caramel malt characteristic of the other ones that we've had. It's even lighter than that.
I would describe mine, I know this isn't really a beer word, but it's kind of fluffy. Like, it's, I think of clouds when I drink this. It's kind of soft.
Are you dropping acid or what?
No, but it's like, it's got this soft, fluffy, creamy flavor. And I really like this beer.
To me, oh, go ahead.
I enjoy this. It may not be my favorite so far, but I think it's a very good take on a classic German style.
To me, it reminds me of, you know, when you chew gum and you've chewed all the flavor out of it and it's just this rubbery mass of nothing. That's what this is in beer terms.
You guys got to get this one I tried because I think it's better than the one you have.
We would if they distributed more than 15 miles.
I'm surprised that I couldn't find it.
It's around the corner.
I mean, I could have driven the 45 minutes to the brewery to go pick it up, but I figured it's got to be somewhere.
Well, it was interesting because I bought these beers at different places, but I think this one was at BevMo, and it was the only Sudwerk beer that they had. You know, I know Sudwerk growing up in Sacramento, but this was the only one that I've seen in this area in a long time. So I guess it's just good timing. Tis the season.
Tis.
So, like, with this one, it almost reminds me more. I would not have picked an Oktoberfest style. It's just, I don't even know what I would compare it to.
It has some of the qualities of the other beers. It just, bubble gum, too much. That's all I get.
All right, well, let's switch gears and move back to a German one. And what do we have?
Weinstephaner Festbier.
Weinstephaner Festbier. 5.8%. 5.8. Friesing, Germany.
A non-Munich brewery.
Non-Munich, which means it's not technically an Oktoberfest beer, I guess.
Well, just by the first look, it doesn't look anything like the other Oktoberfest beers.
It looks like a Bud Light.
Way lighter.
I mean, this one's, it's still crystal clear, but it's a very pale yellow as opposed to that, you know, reddish yellow amber color.
Very white head.
It's good, though. It's good to switch it up. I was getting tired of that same old amber color. This is very clear.
Well, the other ones we had were specifically labeled a Marzen.
Right.
And this one's not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is more of your classic German lager.
Now, I think we're not doing this right because these are refrigerated, and they like to drink them around 97 degrees Fahrenheit.
97, huh?
Yeah. Well, that's how hot it is today, so it would just be sitting outside.
You know, all of these beers are so clear. And when I just hold it up to the light, these are like the clearest beers I've ever seen. The clarity is remarkable.
It is quite clear.
Yeah, you're going to get that with lagers in general. That's just the way they work.
The way they're brewed.
Yeah.
Maybe I just don't drink a lot of lagers. Could be.
That's likely.
So on the aroma, I get there's something there that I can't figure out what it is. It's definitely different from all the other the Marzens that we've had. This one's got more of a, I don't know if it's just more lagery, but like, it doesn't smell like a Bud Light. It smells stronger than that. I mean,
it's like, it's very German lager where you have that, it's kind of a corn taste.
Yes.
I would say that's almost American lagery, you know. You could see where, you know, American Budweiser, I don't know what year they started brewing beer, but they're like, well, we're going to make that beer and we're going to make it here. And that's what they made. It has a different taste of quality than you get from Budweiser, but it's similar in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Corny, very crisp.
I think it's different. Like, when I taste this, this is kind of your typical German or even just European beers. When I think of a European beer, this is the taste that I feel like is very typical.
It's more German, though, because when we were just in I was in Germany. We were both in Prague in the Czech Republic, and we drank a lot of lagers there. And Czech lagers, pilsners, are a little different than German ones. But I think there's similarities there.
I don't like this one.
It's very, I'd say it's plain. It's not, I wouldn't call it bland, but it's plain. It's just a plain Jane beer.
It reminds me of Carlsberg.
Yeah, there's not a lot of depth to it, but I definitely get that corn, like, grainy taste up front, and it's very crisp finish, you know, not a whole lot of carbonation, but it has a pretty light mouthfeel to it.
I think over time, you know, the three-sip rule, we've been drinking a lot of these a little bit darker beers, and I think I like it more now than I did when I the first sip.
It's kind of a palate cleanser.
It's a transition.
Yeah,
I see that. And, you know, we didn't know what these looked like beforehand. In hindsight, this should have been the first beer, just based on the color. But
I'm glad we did it now compared to change it up from everything that we've had that was very similar.
None of them are heavy or heavy flavored, so other than our strange brew. So I don't think it matters too much which order we had them in.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not my favorite beer, but it's not bad. It's kind of a refreshing, you know, just a light beer. Definitely, if you're expecting an Oktoberfest, you might be a little disappointed because that's not what I get with this specific beer.
So is this right? On the bottle, it says it's the world's oldest brewery.
Yep.
It's pretty remarkable. 1040.
Yeah. So over a decade.
I know Augustiner's in the oldest in Munich, and they're like 1327.
Yeah.
I mean, 1040 is old. When we were in Belgium, we went to a bar that was 500 years old, and this is twice as old. So that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next beer we have, Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest. This is... I have to look at the bottle.
Using it right now. Hold on.
I know that it's brewed in collaboration with some German brewery.
Brauhaus Regally. Regal?
Is that how it really pronounced?
I don't know.
But they've been making beer since 1386.
Yeah, so I mean they're spring chickens compared to Weinstephaner over there.
1386?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Spot in 1397, so it's before them at least, and they're pretty well known.
Well, there's seven breweries in Munich that have been there since the 1400s or something like that.
Right. And I think some of them have combined now. And so there's maybe only four left, I think.
Yeah.
Or four or five.
Lowbrow or Hofbrow, Augustiner, Spaten, and Polliner. I know they're all from Munich in all about the same time.
Yeah.
So what's this? 6%? The strongest one of the night? Aside from the strange brew?
Yeah, but they're all the same. There's no discernible difference in alcohol.
Well, other than your harvest lager, because that was 7.5, but ours was 5.7. So on color, this one's actually, I think, that's not quite as light as the Weinstephaner, but it's not as red as all the other Oktoberfest beers that we've had.
No, it's lighter than I expected it to be. I expected it to be the same color as Sam Adams Oktoberfest. No. Not the case. A lot of head on this too. White head. It looks
smells very similar. I mean,
so they did an Oktoberfest last year, Sierra Nevada did, and this is different. This is the collaboration beer. It's different from last year.
The one last year, I mean, I had it. We were on the brewery tour.
Yeah.
And we were there. We had the huge 1,200 keg tanks ahead on top of us, and they let us try it. They had this coil that allows it to pour with that much pressure on top, and we got to try it. And it was about a week or so, 10 days from being ready to be released. So it wasn't quite ready yet, but it was a very new beer. But that was, as I recall, was quite a bit darker than that. It was more of the Marzen color we saw with the previous beers. So this here is interested to try this one.
It's very malty. I think that's like the definition of malt right there. I wouldn't call it necessarily caramely. It's lighter than that.
Toffee maybe?
Not that strong. Not a strong flavor.
Enough.
Yeah.
It's not strong enough for that. But
slightly caramel though. I do get a little of that. Like it looks, doesn't look like those first beers. It doesn't look like the Spaten, for example, but the taste isn't that far off. It's just maybe a little less of the caramel malt.
I think it's malty, but this is also the hoppiest to me. I mean, it's well balanced. This is, I think, a very tasty beer, and this tastes more like a German beer made in the U.S. versus the other ones we had.
Versus the German beers or versus the American beers?
Versus the Sudwark and the Sam Adams. It has more of a European taste to it.
It has a distinct Sierra Nevada taste.
I was going to say, distinct Sierra Nevada taste to it. I definitely can tell they use their hops on the...
Yeah.
You know, I don't know which ones they use, but it definitely has that Sierra Nevada taste. I'm pretty sure I could pick this out as a Sierra Nevada beer, even if I didn't know it.
I wonder what yeast they use, because their Chico yeast is an ale yeast, so who knows?
But don't you guys think this is hoppier than the rest? I mean, it's definitely malty.
So I had this the other day, and that was my first thought the other day when I had it, and I was like, that's a hoppy Oktoberfest. We had it at a fantasy football draft, and that was one of the, had a six pack there. And when I'm drinking it today, I don't get that same sensation. I don't know if it's just because it's the last one I've had, but compared to all these others, that I would say it's slightly more hoppy, but I don't.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a hoppy beer by any means, but for the style, it's probably hoppier than the rest of these. That's for sure.
Yeah. Agreed. Any other final thoughts on this one?
I like the idea of the collaboration. I think this is the only one I know of where it's an American brewery collaborating with a German brewery to make a Oktoberfest beer. So I like that idea.
The Germans?
Yes.
Yeah, well, maybe there'll be more of that now that Stone is opening up their brewery in Germany, in Berlin. Maybe we'll get some collaborations from there coming back this way.
Can you imagine Stone be like, no, just put more hops in it, more hops.
keep going. Keep going. Not enough. Keep going.
The guy's like got the spoon and he's pouring it out. Like, no, more?
Yeah. Yeah,
it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right, well, let's recap the beers of the day so we can figure out which one we like the best. And today we will pick our favorite American one and our favorite German one.
Okay, so we started off with the Spaten Oktoberfest. We moved on to the Sam Adams Oktoberfest. Then we had the Polliter Oktoberfest.
I'm just detecting a theme here.
Then we had our strange brew, the Autumn Maple from the brewery. Then Jeff had the Sudwark Harvest Lager, and we had the Marzen Amber Lager. Then we had the Weinstephaner Fest beer, and then the Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest. Okay, I'll start off. You know, my favorite American one is no doubt is the Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest. I don't know. The Sam Adams is too sweet, and the Sudwark is not even close to being anything I'd ever drink again. And then for the German beer, I would go with the Polliner. You know, there's a distinct taste of quality there that isn't quite there in the other ones. The Spaten was really close, but it just was a little sweeter than I would typically want.
So for me, the American follows exactly what Andy said. The Sierra Nevada was by far my favorite American Oktoberfest. Sam Adams, it's just a little too sweet, and I wouldn't even consider the Sudwark as an Oktoberfest. It just didn't measure up. But
brutal.
Going to differ on the German beer. For me, it was Spaten. I thought it was the most well-balanced of the Oktoberfest beers that we tried. Just a very crisp finish. Just well-balanced. And so that's the German one I would pick was the Spaten.
All right. Well, I'm going to agree with Brandon as far as the American selection. I really enjoyed that Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest. I thought... I guess it was the most German of the three. And maybe that's the collaboration, or maybe that's just, it turned out to be a good beer. But for me, the Sam Adams is just too sweet. I don't even really want to drink that beer again. And, the Sudwerk, well, that's already been said. So, let's also agree with Brandon as far as the German one. I'll go spot in Oktoberfest. I like the balance there. I like the quality. I like the clarity. It's a solid beer.
Jeff?
Are we picking one, or are we picking one of each?
One of each.
All right. So pretty consistent here. I think it's a unanimous vote on the U.S. version. Sierra Nevada was by far the best one for me. I just overall taste... Maybe I'm inclined to go for Sierra Nevada, but I think the overall flavor was the best. And then on the German original, I have to go with Spaten as well. The Spaten Oktoberfest was the first beer, and you know, it's what I look for in a German style Marzen beer. And I thought it was high quality, the right amount of malts and hops and sweetness, and it was just a complex, tasty beer. So Sierra Nevada and Spaten for me.
All right, well, that's three in agreement there. And then Andy, you said Sierra Nevada too for the American one, right?
Yep, it's a clean sweep on the American.
That's unanimous.
Nobody wanted the Polliner.
The Polliner was good too, though. I mean, no doubt about it. That was my number two. All right. Can you feel it? I can feel it. All right. We're going to head on out of here and close down our Oktoberfest show. But it's been fun. We will see you on the next program. Until then, check out our website, beeroftheday.com, and like us on Facebook. We have over 900 people liking us, and I want to get to 1,000 very soon. We're on Twitter at Beer of the Day. Jeff is on the Instagram at Beer of the Day site. And we want to hear from you. If you like the show, if you hate the show, either way, send us an email. feedback@beeroftheday.com. For Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Brandon Hofer, I'm Dallas Helliker. We'll see you next time right here on the Beer of the Day podcast.